Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Good evening and welcome to the History of Germany podcast. I'm Travis Dow, and this is a very special episode. This is a kind of scavenger hunt where I send you all around the Agora Podcast Network. To get an overview of what's happening exactly, go to the Agora Podcast feed itself. That's on agorapodcastnetwork.com. Agora is a pretty big network with over 1 million downloads a month, if anyone's looking for a place to advertise, by the way. But in this episode, we send you to the Cannonball, the English Renaissance Podcast, the Papacy Podcast, Wittenberg de Westphalia, Wars of the Reformation, and then, of course, here. Why am I sending you on a scavenger hunt? Well, because I went to Wittenberg on the very day of the 500-year anniversary of Martin Luther nailing his 95 Theses to the wall, and they had, well, first of all, it was a crazy event. Angela Merkel was there, like the chancellor, and it was this big hoopla, 220,000 people in a town that's normally only 40,000 inhabitants. And there was simply too much for a podcast. I got a 3-hour tour, and it was a great time, but not just on this podcast. This time I shared the love around the podcast network, because there's a lot of other people doing the same topic or talking about the Reformation on this 500-year anniversary. And this is the piece for the History of Germany podcast. Oh, and yes, we're back. We have a lot of content coming, a bunch of surprises, announcements, including new intro music. Welcome to the show. So instead of rehashing everything, I just decided to get Der Budler, that's his real name is Mirko. I decided to get Mirko here again on the show just to kind of summarize the other, you know, the whole day, the whole event, the whole exhibit itself and the goings on. So now listeners to the show might know that Mirko Der Budler has been on the show before, but so welcome back.
Hi. Nice to hear you again.
And the first time you were on the show, we were in Wittenberg for the history of, actually it was for the Sky Disc of Nebra, but we also ended up talking about Martin Luther's 95 Theses. That was 4 years ago. You were already you were already working in Wittenberg. You were already working at the Martin Luther House, and you gave me a tour then. So how long have you been working in Wittenberg, and how long did the whole exhibit, the planning and everything take?
I think I started just shortly before you came to Wittenberg. I think in half a year or so, I was installing a museum in Mansfeld, the place where Martin Luther grew up and where we had lots of exciting archaeological finds from his childhood. And then we met in Wittenberg. I think I just moved in this
okay, so where we were new to the town.
Nearly new, yes.
Now
it's 4 years. It's amazing. Wow.
Yeah, already. And so four years ago, you were like, oh yeah, this will be some crazy event. And me, I was living in Prague, and it was close. I was like, oh yeah, I'll be, no problem, I'll be back. And then I moved far away. But yeah, it was worth going. So how long did the exhibit itself take to plan? It started years before that, I assume. Mm-hmm.
Yes, it did. I think we had more than 3 years in preparation. Most of it started 2 years before we started the exhibition, before the opening, which was in September 1515, I think. Wow, long time ago. Because it took so long to get all the exhibit together. We tried to get the best of the best, so to say. And the problem with Luther Luther's heritage is that it's so widespread nowadays. There are parts in America, there are parts in England, in France, in Italy even. So we tried to get 95 objects together which show the early life of the reformer. We wanted to have each object tell a story, and each object should enable the visitor to get a glimpse of the real Martin Luther, not the one which is formed by lots of tradition of 500 years, because every time used his own image of the reformer. They used him in the church clashes between the denominations. They used it in the 30 Years' War. They used it, the Prussians used it, then even the National Socialists used it. So we tried to get rid of all that and wanted to show the true Luther, the Luther of the 16th century.
Yeah.
But we didn't stop there. We wanted to also to show the influence on the people afterwards.
Yeah.
How people were influenced by Martin Luther's ideas, not only for the good, but also for the bad sides, or even trying to find new answers to the ones of Martin Luther. So, for instance, Johann Wolfgang von Goethe, for instance, who said, well, there's nothing interesting about Martin Luther apart from his character. Everything else is just weird stuff which we don't know, don't need anymore. Or Thomas Mann, famous romancier, who said, well, if I should decide between having lunch with the Pope Leo X or the opponent of Martin Luther or Martin Luther himself, I would choose the Pope, because he was more educated man of the world, mundane man, and not this goblin Martin Luther, as he
called him. This peasant monk that But also, to be fair, Leo X, that there was a few things from the exhibit about him, and he seems crazy fascinating, you know, a Medici and you know, kind of, I mean, to see the Vatican under Leo X, I'm not sure that's a wrong opinion. I think that would be, maybe I'd rather have dinner with him too, but...
would be interesting.
But I just want to say to the listeners that, so 95 objects, and then a display around each object, you know, some description, the information about each one, and it all kind of hangs together, some from the 20th century, you know, Steve Jobs and Edward Snowden, I mentioned on one of the episodes. But the book about the exhibit itself is like 3 inches thick, like 10 centimeters. It was a huge exhibit. There was a part for kids. There was a lot of information, there was a digital, you know, touch. I described, I believe for the history of the papacy, the pilgrimage to Rome, you know, and then you guys had a digital display with a touch screen where you could click around Rome and get more information about each pilgrimage site. And it was just very well done.
Thank you.
What were some of the most difficult objects to get?
I think the most difficult one was the reliquary from Rome, from Florence, sorry. Because it was a reliquary which is very similar to one which was in the reliquary collection of Frederick the Wise, superior of Martin Luther. And we wanted to have that because it's the whole reliquary collection is gone. It was dissolved after the death of Frederick the Wise, because his successor needed money. And so he sold or dissolved everything. It just needed the gold and the precious stones. And everything was thrown away. And so we tried to give a glimpse on how it might have looked like. And there's an object which I rediscovered, which is very close to one of the reliquaries from the collection, probably made in the same workshop. And it was so hard to get because it still contains relics. So it's
I mentioned that one, I believe.
The Vatican,
was Saint Damian and some other saint.
Cosmas and Damian, the two medical saints, which are not the original content of the reliquary anyway. I was hoping that this would be this very reliquary which I was looking for from the collection. It's so close together. That's really amazing, but it turned out it could not be because the one from Wittenberg had an reparation. There was this lead strip attached to it, which wasn't there in the other one. So
yeah,
bad luck.
But just very
bad
similar.
Luck.
Yeah, huh.
But this was so close. Yeah,
looks so like that was difficult. What was some of the furthest away or?
The furthest away.
I mean, I know there was New York. You had objects from South Korea, but they might have been in Germany, yeah. Right? Or
right. That was the easier part. Yeah. Well, it wasn't easy anyway. We got it from South Korea, but we had to buy it. It was a translation of Luther's Bible into into Korean.
Yeah.
I think North Korean and South Korean will still be the same language.
Yeah.
We had to buy that because we couldn't find anyone who could lend that to us. It's a normal book, so a series of books, so was much easier to get, but still it was sent to us from South Korea. We had an umbrella from, I think it's Singapore. It was used in the Occupy Wall Street movement. It was used there in combination of Lutheran ideas and the ideas of the Occupy movement. So we wanted to have that because I think there's a Luther quotation on it in Chinese. So we wanted to have that, of course. Of course, there are objects from the US. For instance, there was the first dated watch in the world, which belonged to Philip Melanchthon, the second most important reformer in Wittenberg.
Was that the pocket watch?
This is a pocket watch.
The round one? From Nuremberg originally, I guess.
Yeah. It is probably Peter Henlein, the first pocket watch
that was
maker.
Amazing. Yeah, I described that too on one of them. I think maybe the cannonball. Right. Yeah, because I love that. Yep.
This went to 1910 to an auction and went to Baltimore. Nowadays belongs to the Walters Art Museum there. Of course, from Toledo, we had the famous painting by Lucas Cranach the Elder showing John Frederick's Steadfast standing with his sword and dagger, hands on the sword and dagger, just before their Martin Luther, Philip Melanchthon, and the other reformers of Wittenberg to show that he will fight for the Reformation, which he ultimately had to do and lost, apparently. The painting itself was splendid, and we're very proud to get that from the US to show that the Reformation could only be working because the nobility was behind that.
Right.
Large amount, and lots of treasures we had there.
I mean, it's just interesting that so to transport artifacts like that from the States to Wittenberg or from even other museums in Germany, that's not easy. There's just a lot of logistics around 95 objects. Like, that was pretty impressive. How many people do you have numbers of, like, how many people came to Wittenberg or how many people went through the exhibit?
We had 220,000 visitors in the end, nearly quarter of a million.
How big is Wittenberg usually? I mean,
Wittenberg is just tiny at 40,000 inhabitants. Yeah. So it's, six times the number, four or five times the number, in visitors. And, we're very proud that all the people came there, the once in a lifetime, opportunity. The next time probably is 300, the 500th birthday of my, no, it's not birthday, but could be in the next part. The next will be this day of Martin Luther, probably in 2046.
Yeah.
Long time to go, probably.
The translation or something in Worms or something.
Yeah, but it's will be events not in, which not did not take place in Wittenberg. So
right. Probably
other places which will be in the focus then, like Worms or others. Yeah.
That's great. I mean, it was hard to, even with a microphone walking around, there was always noise, there was always people, but it was hard to describe that sometimes it was so full. Just outside, you know, walking from one market to the next, it was just trying to get a coffee. There were people outside around the corner. And 4 years ago when I was there, there was nobody. We were just walking around and you showed me the city. The next morning, there was nobody, you know. It was, but for that day, yeah, they had the 3D or the projections on the buildings. And, you know, it's just the whole town
was...
That.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I missed all that because I had to work.
You were working.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
It was the first time for Germany to have a nationwide non-working day. So everyone had free in this day, apart from the people who had to work, because we had to trench all these crowds of people in the museum. Had to bring the 95 Caesars, the original of the 95 Caesars from 1517 to the castle church.
Yeah, wait, who did that?
I did that.
Yeah, that's right. I just want to like tell the listeners that we're talking to the guy that 500 years later actually had to bring the literal 95, the original 95 Theses to the church castle, and then go sit behind Angela Merkel and listen to a sermon and whatever else, some speeches, I guess, right?
She was just a couple of meters away from me. I was standing in the aisle watching all the time what happened to the original, because we didn't have a guard inside. So I had to watch it by myself.
You were the courier, you were security, you were...
It was a very strange feeling, yeah. And all the time I had to fight the urge to nail it somewhere.
Right,
to the church door. So
take this!
but was kind of fun to watch all this stuff going on. There was our chancellor, there was our state president, there were lots of people from celebrities from around the world. So
you guys were in the news. I would take a break, and at some point I think I was sitting on your couch, turned on your TV, and was like, and then of course they're showing Wittenberg and they're showing the Schlosskirche, and I'm like, oh, it's right outside. But you know, I mean, it was just a national event in Germany. I was flipping through the channels. There was documentaries on, you know, Reformationstag, and then all the news was about in Wittenberg, and, you know, following what Angela Merkel's doing in the helicopter and the speech she gave, and just, you know, all kinds of just on every channel, basically. And I'm like, oh, hey, Mirko's there, you know, and I'm three blocks away. That was really something. So...
Yeah, now it's back to normal again. The streets are empty.
The small town again, and life goes on. Yeah. There was a medieval market. There was a normal market, let's say, also very medieval-ish. But in the medieval market, there was, you know, pots of stew cooking and knights and, you know, in armor and people, blacksmiths making things. And then the normal market was still, you know, many arts and crafts. But it was full. It was just so many people. And then the next morning, it was gone. You know, early in the morning when I woke up, you see some trucks, trucking stuff off, taking things away. And by the time we got breakfast, it was empty streets and life to normal. So, yeah, amazing. But
yeah, you should have been here when we had Luz's wedding day, which is a big celebration each year. This year it was amazing. It was just huge because of the Reformation year. But we have that every year. It's around the 13th of June, the following weekend. And there's the whole place is crowded with people. With the market, with knights, as you told earlier, with people doing all old craft. It's just amazing. Even the colleagues of mine put on medieval clothes and walk through the streets or go on procession. So it's great fun to do.
There is a tourism industry around Wittenberg. When you came to visit me this summer, you showed up with Luther noodles and Luther socks, which said, I stand here and can do no different. And, you know, Luther sayings, a book or two. And how much Luther stuff have you bought? How many different Luther things did you have to buy in the for guests? Or I mean, I saw t-shirts. I saw the first thing I come into your apartment and was like, "Hey, how are you doing?" And you're like, "Oh, you want some Reformation beer?" And you had Reformation lager, Reformation pils, whatever, light and dark beer. Right. And you know, sure enough, like Luther brand special edition. So
Just by looking around, I can see here some biscuits with Luther.
Yeah.
Thing will be, of course, you mentioned the shirt. Yes, I have the shirt here.
Rubber ducks. Yeah.
Rubber ducks, yeah. Of course. Rubber ducks. Playmobil.
That's right. I have a Martin Luther Playmobil thing. Yeah, that's right.
Which is the best sold Playmobil figurine ever.
Oh my goodness. I also have an Albrecht Dürer from Nuremberg.
Oh yes. This one too.
Yeah.
which we sold illegally as Kranach 2 years ago.
Because we had the Kranach. Yeah. close enough.
Yeah. Very close. What else do we have here? How do you call it? Can use to make cookies with that.
A Luther cookie cutter. Yeah.
Cookie cutter, with this portrait. What else?
Reformed
do we have here?
Cookies.
Of course, pencils with the name on it. Well, it's a big marketing thing, of course. They use it quite a lot. It's quite funny because we tried to buy that for our collection also, because every Luther year has this phenomenon that people try to make money with that too. So we have from the last celebrations in 1983, Luther's 500 years birthday, or even from older.
That's an interesting collection. Yeah.
It is. Yeah. Yeah, and it probably would be interesting to look on in 100 years time or so.
Yeah, people like rubber ducks. Rubber ducks and noodles. What were they thinking? Luther pasta.
even people are selling Luther tomatoes, which is amazing in itself, because of course there were no tomatoes in Martin Luther's time here in Europe. That's kept on.
Yeah.
Much later. They call it this way because there is an growing plant nearby in Wittenberg where they grow all the tomatoes, and they're like, well, it's near Wittenberg, so call it Luther tomatoes.
At least Luther Stadt, like Luther City tomatoes or something, you know. Even the navigation, the GPS thing on my car, you know, it says Wittenberg, Luther Stadt. So it's and then there's signs on the highway. In fact, I remember I passed the sign for the Sky Disc of Nibra when I passed. There was the street to Halle, or when I went past Halle going to your house, and then later I passed a sign that says, you know, Lutherstadt Wittenberg something, and you know, a picture of Martin Luther, and they had a picture of the Sky Disc of Nibra by Halle. So I was like, hey, these are all History of Germany episodes, and these are all the ones where Der Buddler came and, you know, podcast bombed my episodes. That's great.
Just put the signs we put the signs up after your podcast episodes, of course.
Yeah, I mean, that's what makes them famous, is they were on the History of Germany,
course,
and then
of course,
they're like, oh well, no, now we gotta
right.
We have to put something up on the Autobahn. Yeah.
Right. To make the people find it.
Yeah. I mean, that's all the questions I had. Thank you very much for, you know, coming back on the show. But also, I was telling listeners, it was a 12-hour day for you. You left at 8 in the morning and you didn't come back. I didn't see you again until 8:30 or 9 at night. And then we went out for dinner. And you still had time to give me a 3-hour tour, but you know, snuck me in the back and gave me a 3-hour tour, and it was just it was an amazing experience. I think some of the tourists were a little bit jealous when there was a lot of Americans too. There was a lot of American tourists, and you heard English, but every time I got tired, your apartment was right there. It's between, you know, a coffee stall and a souvenir stall or someplace selling meats. And I would just, you know, I had the keys and just would walk in and like, oh, put my feet up for a second. And I was just like, wow, all the tourists that are walking around and you know, don't have some couch to sit on. I feel sorry for those guys. I got a parking spot. So, thanks for all that, too. It was an amazing experience. And I'm glad I made it after, you know, saying I would be back 4 years ago. So
it was a great pleasure for me. And we had 4 years of planning for that.
That's right.
Yep. It's nearly the same time which we had for planning the whole exhibition.
That's right. See, I was in from the beginning. So there you go.
Right. The closest the circle.
So this was a summary of the exhibit with Der Buddler. If you want to hear the on the scene audio, that's in Heather Tesco's English Renaissance History podcast, The History of the Papacy podcast by Steve Guerra, Ben Jacobs' Wittenberg to Westphalia, Wars of the Reformation, and The Cannonball with Claude and Dan. All of those are recorded stand-ups on the scene on October 31st, 2017 in Wittenberg, and cut them specific snippets from the tour that Buddler gave me of the exhibit. So don't miss that, and then I'll do a summary of some of that stuff on the Agora feed and put it all into perspective, so maybe just go there first. That's agorapodcastnetwork.com. We are back with hopefully a pretty regular schedule with the history of Germany. I've now finally retired my other German show, and I've gotten help on continuing this one, so stay tuned for that. And perhaps the thing I'm most excited about right now in the podcasting, in my whole podcasting career, is this.
مساء الخير وأهلا وسهلا بكم في الحلقة الأولى من بودكاست The History of Germany أو تاريخ ألمانيا تقديم وترجمة عماد أما النسخة الأصلية فهي من كتابة وتقديم ترافيس داو.
The History of Germany in Arabic, that's right. The idea was pitched to me as to help Syrian refugees in Germany kind of figure out where they are and what people surround them and, you know, to help them kind of get along with their new home. So I think that's a great idea. In fact, I think that's the greatest idea I've ever had the opportunity to do anything with. We're definitely back for one. And then the other thing is it's probably this, the history of Germany in Arabic might not be searchable on iTunes. It'll be there and we already have a hoster for it and we'll have an RSS feed. We already have an RSS feed. We're working on more episodes. But spread the word because, you know, we'd love to kind of get the word out and maybe work with organizations who help refugees or whatever. I mean, we need support. We need help getting the word out. There's none of my previous marketing experience will help me, nor none of my networks like Dark Myths or Agora. So, history of Germany in Arabic. It'll be slightly different than the original because it'll speak to a slightly different audience, but I'm excited about that, and otherwise we'll have more episodes coming very shortly, and then hopefully more regularly. Now either go to the English Renaissance History podcast, the History of the Papacy podcast, Wittenberg to Westphalia, Wars of the Reformation, the Cannonball, or straight to the Agora Podcast Network feed and continue the scavenger hunt on what happened exactly 500 years ago, October 31st, 1517. In Wittenberg. Danke fürs Zuhören. Auf Wiedersehen.
Guten Tag, liebe Frau. Es hat mich sehr gefreut.
Is that what we're doing now? Well, I don't know. People complained about the other music. There's new shows coming, but it's changing.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.